Thought for today. My code of ethics is a reliable compass. My code of ethics is a reliable compass. What is our code of ethics? What is it that we use as our way of living, our modus operandi? Really, criminals have a modus operandi. They have a mode of operating, and police understand that mode of operating, and they watch these things. They see how the crime was committed, and they say, oh, that was done by so-and-so. Of course, that was many years ago. Perhaps it's still done today, where criminals have a modus operandi. Well, now, every one of us has a modus operandi also. We have a way of conducting our life, a way of conducting ourselves, a way of habituating ourselves to whatever condition comes along in our life. And that way of conducting ourselves is our code of ethics. Now, what is your code of ethics? What is my code of ethics? What is the code of ethics of the community? What's the code of ethics of the church? What's the code of ethics of God? What's the code of ethics of Jesus? What's the code of ethics of the philosophers of the world? What's the code of ethics of the scientists? Well, now, this may come as a bit of a shock and may come as a strange response, but the code of ethics of all living and non-sentient beings is to be yourself and have fun, really. A rock's purpose is to be a rock. And does it have fun? Well, yes, it lies there and lays there and waits until it's discovered. And when it lies there and is finally discovered, it says, wow, another adventure opens up for me. You're digging in the earth and you find this rock down there and you bring the rock out and you throw it down next to the path. And the rock says, wow, another adventure. And a rain comes along and washes the rock off, takes all the dirt off it. The rock says, hey, this is not bad, you know. I'm getting my real self out here. And then a bulldozer comes along and runs over the rock and smashes it into little pieces and says, boy, do I expand wonderfully, you know. All these new me's, you know, expressing just like having a population explosion. What a wonderful way to be. And then rain comes and snow and sleet and the rock breaks up into smaller crystals. And it becomes so tiny, it's a very tiny sand. But it's such a beautiful sand that they decide to make the wafers out of it. They decide to make the chips for the computers and things like that. So here this rock, which once was a rock, never would have been thought to have become something different, and it turns into a computer chip. Oh, come on now, that's a pretty long... Yes, that's true. But where does sand come from? Sand comes from demolished rock. Sand comes from pulverized rock. And there's lots of it on this earth, isn't there? We've had a lot of pulverized stone on this earth. Or is it the stone comes from the sand? Interesting thought. The sand, I believe, comes from the stone. So the code of ethics of the stone is to be itself and have fun. And as it changes its form and shape, as we do, it decides it's going to be itself and have fun as little stones. And it's going to be itself and have fun as sand. It's going to be itself and have fun as a computer chip. It's going to be itself and have fun involved in all the information that's stored on it. Now, is that true? Is that true that it's going to be aware of what's stored on it? It can. But what is stored on it is only a small fraction of what it has in it. In it is all knowledge, all awareness, all beingness. On it is merely a little bit of, we think it's a lot, gigabytes and gigabytes and gigabytes of information. But hey, that's still only gigabytes of information. How much information is there in the universe? Or just our world? Or just a county? How much information? A lot. Far more than 30 gigabytes. And 30 gigabytes a lot. But you see, when you start getting down to the brass tacks, we have not even touched the surface of all the knowledge, of all the awareness, of all the goodness. We haven't even touched the surface and how to know how to do it. What is our code of ethics? Our code of ethics is to do whatever we do to the finest that we're able to do it. Not because we're doing it for somebody else, not because we're doing it because we want credit, but just because that's the way we are. I'll ask you a simple question, you give me a simple answer. As a master, how would a master do anything? Perfect. As a would-be master, how would a would-be master do anything? As perfect as he can. As a normal human being who is not interested in being a master, how would they do it? If they could get out of it, they wouldn't do it. Right? The normal human being has the statement, never volunteer for anything. The normal human being says, I don't want to get involved. The normal human being says, oh, but the bridegroom is already in bed. I cannot open the door for you. The normal human being says all of these neat things. What does the divine human being say? It is one in, as in and of the flow. The divine human being is the flow. And this is who we are. We are the flow. We are not the rock, or we are not the rock splinters, or we're not the crystals, the sand crystals, and we're not the chip, the computer chip either. But we are all of it. Now, we may be those things, but we are all of it. And as long as we're all of it, then what happens? As long as we're all of it, then we're still in the flow. My code of ethics is a reliable compass of what my life is. I can tell exactly where I'm going. I can tell, you know, a compass shows you where you're going. I know exactly where I'm going by the type of person I am. If I'm a loving person, I will go in loving directions. If I'm not a loving person, I will go in not loving directions. It's just as simple as that. What direction are you going? What direction is your world going? What direction interests you? What direction do you want to go? Do you want to go in the direction of fulfillment of everything? If you do, then that's great. My code of ethics is a reliable compass because my code of ethics points the way for me whether I'm following who I really am. Now you say, I already know all that. I already know all that stuff. Why do you bother me with that information? The code of ethics is a reliable compass. Why do you bother me with that information? Well, I don't bother you with it. I merely remind myself that wherever my compass is pointing, that's where my code of ethics is. If my compass is pointing at limitation, that's my code of ethics. If my compass is pointing at success, that's my code of ethics. It is. You take the people in business who are success, they're not pointing their compass at failure, are they? Some do. Some do because they know that they're not giving their best to what they're doing. And so, because they're not giving their best to what they're doing, they're destroying themselves. And in destroying themselves, they have nothing to work with. This is what we want to refrain from doing. We want to give our best under all circumstances and have our code of ethics be a code of ethics of accomplishment and fulfillment of every good thing. When we do that, then we are on the right track and we are experiencing some very wonderful things. But until we do that, then we are just an ordinary human being working on an ordinary life, which is fine and dandy, but There's no sparkle. There's no sparkle. When my dad built the boat for my brother and the girls, he had sparkle in his eyes. When my dad was, I don't know of anything he's ever done that he didn't have sparkle in his eyes, but what would he do? When he was giving us a spanking, he had a sparkle in his eyes. He was training us into better habits. But what would a person do who didn't have sparkle in their eyes? What would they be doing? Ah, yes, they'd be doing something that they didn't think was right. They'd be doing something that they believed was wrong, that they believed was harmful to another. They'd be doing something that would be, in truth, harmful to another, taking away from another. Now, how do we change that? How do we change that particular situation? I had a letter from one of our students, and he's in prison, and he says, Herb, what am I to think about forgiveness? If there's no right, no wrong, no good, no bad, what am I to think about forgiveness? And I wrote him, and I said, everything we do with a purpose. We do because we choose to. And it's neither right nor wrong, but we do it because we choose to. Now, if you go and say, I'm sorry, after you kick somebody, they'll say, sure, yeah, that takes away the pain. Thank you very much, you know. But there's nothing to be sorry for. You meant to kick that person. Oh, I did it by accident. Nothing happens by accident. So what you may say to that person is, hey, when I kicked you, I was angry at you, but I'm not angry at you anymore, and so I don't think I'll kick you anymore. And the person says, well, thanks a lot, you know. You see, when you are knowing what you're doing, when you are in charge of yourself, when you are master of yourself, you don't do things without seemingly reason, because everything has a reason. And then you think through the repercussions of it before you do it. Now, would you say that's not thinking your first thought? That's true, that's not thinking your first thought. What would your first thought be in relation to kicking someone or hurting somebody? What would your relation, what would you think about yourself thinking such a thought? Would you think that that was not a nice thing to do? Would you think it was not a nice thing to kick another person under any circumstances? Surely you do. What would be a nice thing to do? Whatever makes you and the other person happy, but basically you. Now, what makes you happy? You see, a lot of circumstances in our life, we have no guidelines. A lot of circumstances in our life, we have no guidelines. How does a boy talk to a girl? Why does a boy talk to a girl? Why does a girl talk to a boy? What's the guideline for that? At one minute, the boy thinks girls are the dumbest thing on earth, and the next minute, the boy thinks girls are very interesting. And girls had the same opinion, but they came a little earlier to the fact that boys were interesting. What changed the mind? What changed the cause? What was the new program? Well, it's the development of the body. As the body secreted different hormones, as the body was coming into its own awareness. Oh, it's all about sex? No, it had nothing to do with sex. It has to do with relationships. You see, a boy can hug a girl and kiss a girl, and that's acceptable. But a boy can't hug a boy and kiss a boy, because that's not acceptable in society, basically. And so they learn that what is it that they're becoming aware of? What is it that the boy sees in the girl, or the girl sees in the boy? What is it? They see a sharing of love. They see a sharing of love. You see, when you enter into this point in your life, up to that point, you just shared love with yourself. Oh, you might have appeared to give it to your parents and your family, but you just shared love with yourself. And when you reach this point, there's a certain outgoingness in our nature that wants to be expressed. And that outgoingness is the sharing of love. Now, when we give this love, when we release this love, when we share this love, then we are sharing our code of ethics. We are sharing our code of ethics, which says, hey, I like all girls. Not bad, huh? I like all people. That's not bad either. I like all boys. That's not bad. And you see, when that comes in our life, if we have had a healthy bringing up, where we didn't put causes on things right away, we didn't put labels on things, then beautiful, harmonious relationships can take place. And beautiful, harmonious people can have great experiences with one another. But until this code of ethics, this internal attitude about ourselves is stabilized, then we will be like some of the boys. He's got a girlfriend, he's got a girlfriend, he's got a girlfriend, you know, when they're 7 or 8 or 10 years old. He's got a girlfriend, and so that's something bad, you know. But it really isn't. It's just that they haven't gotten to the point where they got a girlfriend. And the minute they get a girlfriend, then they stop saying, he's got a girlfriend. Because they are in the program too. And this is a very fascinating thing. But it doesn't happen to all people at the same moment. It happens sometimes later, sometimes earlier with people. But always, if we have a good code of ethics, if we are brought up to respect ourselves first, and respect our parents and our home, respect our family, back our family up in whatever needs to be backed up, and respect our world, and create ourselves with people around us who have the same code of ethics as we do. And this is normally true. A neighborhood seems to have a similar code of ethics. Another neighborhood has a totally different code of ethics. It all depends on how it's been developed and how it's been handled. But what is your code of ethics? It's a reliable compass of the direction you're going in your life. So if you set that compass, that code of ethics, onto your highest and your best at all times, you will be a very satisfied, a very fulfilled, and a very rewarded being. And this is what I recommend for you and for me, to set the compass on that which is the highest and the best, and just love everything that we're doing. So, go for it with all your heart. I love you very much.